Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Willow, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. My guest is Michael Jost, and he originally hails from Germany, and I can't pronounce the name of that town.
Dreieich.
Dreieich.
If anyone's listening at home, heads up. Dreieichenheim.
Which is just outside of Frankfurt, as I understand.
It's like 20 minutes outside.
But now he's out here in Venice. And besides being an amazing guitarist, we're going to talk about that, he has his own radio show called Radio Venice.
Yeah, RadioVenice.tv.
.tv?
Yes.
And that's just look up RadioVenice.tv. That's it.
RadioVenice.tv, we got a great website, archived shows. Many, many musicians came in the last 94 shows. Really amazing people.
Every Sunday afternoon.
Every Sunday afternoon. 420 worldwide.
Sunday. Okay, I'm writing all that down. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Now, tell us a little bit before I play the first clip. I want to talk about your background, because you're classically trained.
Yes. I played classical guitar all my life. Actually, that's how I started out, classical guitar. And then later, when I was 15, rock and roll kicked in. So I never stopped playing classical guitar and was always like a big part. But then, of course, the other stuff happened too. And then eventually, I always played rock and roll and funk and all that stuff. And then it became LA and did this. But eventually, I returned to the classical guitar. And now I do both, but I'm totally obsessed with it. I took the electric stuff and the crazy stuff and the jamming stuff with the stuff I learned on the classical and mixed it all up. So
Where did you study classical? Just private lessons, or did you?
I had private lessons, and I went to music schools and everything. And that's where I learned it.
In Germany?
In Germany, yeah. I had some amazing teachers. And then, you know, and in the end, and then actually when I first came to LA, I also went to Musicians Institute in Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
You know, I got a little bit on top of the classical. I got pretty good idea about jazz harmony and everything. And I also had a mentor, basically, in Germany, Detlef Kittler. He was a piano tone meister. Mm-hmm. He taught me a lot about sound engineering, but also about orchestrating and writing and playing the piano and stuff.
Well, when you were playing in Germany as a kid, did you go to, was the music scene in Frankfurt where you would go, or was it in your town?
In my town, it was a little bit too, like the normal high school band stuff. You know, I did all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always fascinated as a kid already. We had these couple times a year, these classical concerts where a bunch of kids went, played El Condor Pazza, like 20 of them. But I loved it. I always loved playing instrument and everything I got right. But then later, Frankfurt had a pretty good scene, like a lot of, back in the days when I grew up, like jazz, fusion, rock kind of stuff, you know, like Alphonse Mouzon, all these drummers came, and then Thorsten de Winkel was a pretty well-known jazz guitar player. And in Frankfurt, you see, I saw, my mom took me to see Andre Segovia. She took me to see Paco de Lucia at the opera, and that's changed my life. And then my first rock and roll concert was the last show of Led Zeppelin. that was in Frankfurt. So
when you went to go to concerts, Frankfurt was
Frankfurt
the place.
Frankfurt was a place.
So that's a pretty. I've been blessed to go there, though I was only there briefly because I had to leave. I flew in from there, but it's a beautiful town.
I've been there.
You know what also was next. I'm really thankful for the classical background that I had and I learned. And the other stuff also was because Frankfurt was headquarters of U.S. Army, so I was listening to the AFN, the American Forces. There was all plenty of rock and roll on the radio all the time. And that's these two things, you know?
Yeah, Armed Forces Radio, that you would get a good cross-section of what was happening.
Yeah, so and then I also, my rock and roll beginning started. We started playing in rock and roll bands for the U.S. Forces, you know, like these big Army festivals and everything. Out and you play every Saturday and Sunday. You play 3-4 sets, like the whole night. You learn your rock.
So, like Heidelberg, you mean?
Heidelberg was there. Frankfurt was there. Karlsruhe. All that. Heidelberg is beautiful.
How far is Heidelberg from Frankfurt?
But it's less than an hour. It's rather it's rather close.
That's because they go at massive speeds on the Autobahn. That's
it's not massive.
It's hard to fit it's hard to fit a Marshall stack in a Porsche.
It has been done. It's been done.
Well, let me play this first clip, and it's from the album California Burning, and I'm going to show it on the Facebook Live so you can see a copy of the album with a CD. And this is called Ganja, and what I really liked about this was the mixture of the acoustic guitars with the electric guitars, and I loved especially you do double electric leads, which I think should be done more often in music. It's really tastefully done.
Absolutely agree.
So let me play this, and then we'll talk about what you did on here. This is Ganja. Was very cool, and there's a lot of stuff going on in there.
Thank you. Yes.
I was telling people to put headphones on. It was like,
yeah, no,
it's
actually,
really good for headphones.
Yes, it's definitely a stereo mix. Yeah,
but you know, that's what I liked about when I was a kid. I got these Pink Floyd records. You listen to them, the headphone. There's some people talking and laughing coming from all sides. I love that stuff.
Yeah, no, they did a lot of stuff with psychoacoustic.
Yeah, I love all that.
You can hear stuff behind them and stuff. Mm. They were using that that dummy head.
Yeah,
that special one. I forget the name of it.
Neumann dummy head. This is like this.
Yeah, it wasn't the Neumann binaural. It was a modified one, but I forget the guy's name. His last name began with a Z, but he modified it, so it was even more spatial. But anyway, we digress. Let's talk a little bit about what you did there. I mean, you had some interesting. You had the double leads, the rock stuff. I presume the Goya was the main.
It was a Goya, yeah.
And then you had, at the very end, the electric guitar, if I'm correct, is backwards, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which is very cool.
Okay, that's the two influences that I have, the biggest one. One is Hendrix, and I do love also the backwards stuff from the Beatles, of course, right? It was amazing stuff. I do love all that. And then, like, all the acoustic stuff, you know, Led Zeppelin, what Jimmy Page did with all these acoustics, with the mandolins, with the open tunings, and then Paco. So I'm basically taking it from everywhere, mixing it up, and then also I'm a sound engineer. I do love tone. I do love working, especially with analog. So I kind of mix it like a good spaghetti sauce. You know, you let it sit a little bit, and then you put a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
There might be little herbs.
Yeah, the herbal inspiration is there as well. And if you come to my studio, if you come visit me, you see it. So, and I do love exactly this, the combination. I do love acoustic guitars. I do love electric guitars. And I do love psychedelic stuff. And I like all to mix it up, you know, just like.
Well, it's an interesting mix and it works. Mm-hmm. But let's break down what you did there. So there was several, there was a couple, at least two or three acoustics, right?
There's one acoustic guitar is playing the main riff. You know, I started out just jamming out to the thing. This melody is like an acoustic. Then I have two acoustic on the rhythms, and then I have the leads on the...
Right, but what were you using?
For the electric leads?
Start with the acoustics. What were you using for the two acoustics doing the little groove?
I used Goya.
That one?
Yeah, Goya, tuned down with a drop D tuning. And then I have a particular setup of a mic, a tube preamp, and then a vintage compressor that is my signal chain in the studio. So I don't really close mic the guitars. I go a little bit further away.
Good.
To have. I'm not really a fan of acoustic close miking, so I really, because I play rather dynamic, so I pick it up. So and if you can hear, there's no reverb or any of that stuff. I keep it really dry, only the real thing. All the reverbs that I create are like natural room, or it's like tape echo or something like that.
Well, you're getting a little more air there.
Yes, yes.
And you hear it because it makes the guitar sound richer because you're getting the lower frequencies. But what mic did you use?
You know, I have like a CAD mic, that's a CAD mic that I have. Yeah. It's a large membrane condenser mic. Large condenser. You know, and it sounds, I use it on a lot of my recordings. It sounds really great on acoustic guitars. I do prefer actually large membrane condenser for acoustic guitars over small. For live, I use a small one when I play with Miss Lucy, but in the studio, like, it has a bit warmer, rounder feel to it. And that's really, I'm all about having it warm and fat. So, and that's the thing. And like I said, like 3 feet away, and then you just get the total dynamic what it is. And then,
so all of the acoustic guitars are Goyas.
Yeah.
Same one or just?
It's all this one.
One that one.
And then there's mandolins on there too.
Mandolins,
okay. It's also Goya mandolin on there.
Oh, okay. And then what were you using for electrics?
The electric actually that I'm using on there is the James Troussard, that Telecaster, this aluminum. The weird thing is, I never thought that an aluminum guitar could sound so warm. I'm really all about the wood, you know. And so I was not really a fan, but she kind of ended up with me from a friend. And I tried it out, and she just cuts through like nothing. Mm-hmm. It's totally beautiful.
So what amp did you use?
I do have an old Marshall JCM 800 that I bought when I was 18 years old, still in Germany. I brought it with me. And so that's my main amp, so just like that.
And was that a half stack, or was that just 112?
You know, I have different speakers. So this is actually, I have a 212. Reinhold Bogner got me this cabinet. It's a 212 cabinet with vintage 30s in there. And they really have been beat up. He told me it belonged once to, what's the guy from George Lynch from Dokken? He said,
yes.
It belonged. It's a really beat up cabinet. You know, but speakers that have been used for many years sound a little warmer, a little softer. Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's been broken in.
Yeah. So this is, I have a few amps in my studio, but this Marshall has been on so many recordings and it sounds really, really well.
Now, how did you mic that? Did you pull the mic back or did you go close?
57 close up.
Close.
SM57 close up.
That's great. That's a great sound. Well, let's talk a little bit about this Goya because it has a lot of history. And as you can see on the Facebook Live, it's pretty worn.
So actually,
it sounds great.
This was a gift from a friend of mine, Michael McDonald's. We used to have, when I first came to LA, we used to have a band together. And so, and he wanted me to also play a lot of acoustic, and he found it in a pawn shop. He gave this to me. And then, you know, back in the days, we just always took off the top coat of the acoustic guitars. That's what the Beatles did back in the days already, because that made their Epiphones sound a little brighter and more open.
Right.
So which is thing. So we did this, and then we played around with it a little bit, and this is actually some lighter fuel happened. So that is all. Terrible things have been done to this guitar.
You were talking about the Beatles. Did they do that to their acoustic guitars?
Yes, they did it to their Epiphone guitars. Took the top coat off. I'm a big fan of taking all the paint off, especially lacquer. It just makes. That's also why these guitars sound so much better. They're French polish and no lacquer. And that's what a lot of guitars in the 90s, I think, made wrong. They put tons of lacquer on there. They never would scratch, but they didn't sound right. And so this is also. Sounds more open just because of this. And this is just, I just oiled it in.
So that's a spruce top?
Yeah.
And then that's mahogany?
I think it's mahogany.
Go ahead and turn it around so the camera can see.
This is a Goya was built for the American market in Sweden to compete with other guitars like Levin and stuff. So they only were built in Sweden, but only available in America. In Sweden, they had a different name. So this was built in 1957. The one Goyas that you want are the ones between 1956 and 1965. And after that, Goya was sold to the Martin Company, and Martin started building Goyas under the name Goya in Japan at that point. But you want the stuff before 1965.
Where was Goya originally made?
Sweden. So the nice thing is about these guitars, they're handmade in Sweden, and like really incredible quality. This is the F11, the folk model. I have another one of these. And then they also build great classical guitars, inexpensive, the G10. If someone wants a classical guitar, a used one in the 60s, G10, I got a G30. Just great handmade guitars, and you can tell they're made with love. The neck is a little bit, almost like a classical. It's a little wider. But it's a beautiful guitar also to record.
I mean, it's got an interesting timbre to it.
I also have two pickups. I have here a piezo pickup in there, and then we will talk some more about Candela's guitar. Tomas Delgado has these Candela's pickups built. They're a little bit like the old D. Armands.
That's a Candela's pickup in there?
It's a Candela's pickup. There's his.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
There's his logo.
Hold on, let me
get
that. We got to get in close.
So that's a little bit like a remake of the Diamond guitars, pickups. Mm-hmm. So you have like a little thing. So I have this switch. I can go this or this. So this is when I play this through an electric amp, I can do for slide. But the finger picking and stuff, I use a piezo.
So the Candela sounds like an electric guitar pickup,
yes.
More like that.
That's more like an electric guitar. I use these mostly also live just with a microphone because it's so nice, but sometimes I plug it in.
Because the... I'm looking for the one. Let me play. I'm going to play a clip, which is interesting, and because there was you told and you had sent me these with some notes, and you said we need to talk about the electric guitar on this. I'm going to play this clip called Zoltar from. This one's from California Burning, this album, and you're playing slide on it, but the guitar is it's an interesting kind of, I would call it like a grunge sound. It's that kind of raspy type of aggressive electric guitar.
I think the slide on there is...
No, the slide's acoustic.
The slide isn't acoustic.
But what I'm curious is, on that clip, did you use the pickup? Because it doesn't sound acoustic. It sounds kind of...
No, I think that's my gold top on there, the electric.
I think
that might be an electric.
Let's play it and then tell me a little more about it, because this is an interesting clip too, and you'll like this. This is really cool. Here's Zoltar.
Thank you.
I don't know. That first slide part sounded acoustic to me, but I
it is. So that is okay. Now that is one of my things that I like to do. These are acoustics, right? And the little crunchy sound what you thought it was not plugged in. It was the same acoustic, the same mic. But what I do sometimes when I have a lot of other guitars, like full frequency range, I take the melody and I took it to a filter, just like a telephone filter. So I cut off the bass, I cut off the highs, so it's rather
nasal,
and that's that sound. So
it's
that's
a great sound.
That's a little bit because, you know, if you have so many big guitars.
Right. But that's an acoustic, though, that was doing the slide.
That's the same acoustic that is playing all the same.
Okay, and then what was the strumming guitars?
That was the...
The full strum. Those are the sound of that. There's two.
Just two. That's the Martin D18, the 67. That is still... that's Thomas Delgado's right now to get the net reset.
Yeah, one of the beautiful sounds.
You know, I'm also a big Pink Floyd fan. It sounds like The Animals, you know,
right,
album. These acoustic guitars, how they strum. That, you know, you have like one goal. When I got this guitar, this is the sound that I was striving for. You know, the strumming of that.
Then what were you doing with the electrics?
Yeah, the electrics. That's my goal top. They were just like over my Marshall, and then just played that melody. You know, I barely remember making all these songs because they're just like a process. You know, I add something, and eventually I got a mix of it, you know?
Yeah. No, but I mean, it sounded in the background. There was like a wah in there.
You know that wah, what that was? That was actually the bass that I played through the big muff and the wah-wah pedal. And then what that filler, wah, that's what that is. That's like the fire-breathing bass. I got an old Russian big muff. Right? And so I run the bass through the big muff into the wah-wah pedal, and then that makes this. What I like is when I have acoustic guitars, I like the distorted bass under it, because the distorted bass makes it all warm and fuzzy under it. So sometimes with acoustic guitars, you just have it bright. So while with electric guitars, distorted guitars, I keep the bass clean. But with acoustic guitars, I have it. And sometimes at this place, and you get in the chorus, you got a little bit extra crazy. So what you heard very well, you heard this very well, but again, it's the bass.
What bass did you use?
I have this old Fender jazz bass, totally beat up. I got it new somewhere, and then I just torched it, I burned it, and like we put a lot of lighter fluid to it to get the lacquer off.
Get the lacquer off. No, it's interesting, because that sound, I remember, it reminded me a lot of what Trevor Rabin did on one of the Yes albums, where he was doing that kind of grunge type of thing. Yeah. And it had that kind of gritty... It's a unique type of distortion, but it was just interesting because you were getting it out of the amp. I thought you were using a pedal. It sounded like
it a is pedal. A pedal. It's the Big Muff.
The Big Muff is doing it, but the guitars are just straight amps.
The guitars are just straight Marshall.
Okay. So a lot of that sound, then, because it fills it out. Yeah. That Big Muff's nice.
What you can do, you do an acoustic left and right, double it, have the distorted bass, and then put two electric guitars, and it's huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
That's a great, 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 great sound. And that one also, too, is on the California Burning album. Do you ever record with the pickups, or you usually play that guitar acoustically?
I play when I play acoustic. I never plug in the recording, right? Unless I use an effect. You know, sometimes what I do for fun, I also I do bad stuff. I put it through distortion or like wah-wah pedal. I like the acoustic with wah-wah pedal. Then I do this, but I always do just mic. I'm a big fan of just mic.
Grab one of the slides and just play a little bit of this guitar. I want people to hear what you're doing here.
Tuning, you can do also like a little bit that.
Well, it's interesting that it's this, because it, that doesn't, that sounds like
a sitar.
A sitar or an oud or something like
oud,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has that kind of a nasally type of sound to it.
Yeah.
You know, I do, I have a particular tuning, so I have two strings are the same. They're both G sharp. So what that does, it creates this droning kind of sound. And then... You can do all kinds of like Middle Eastern scales and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and put
this
in the microtones. And I do like sometimes I have different guitars in my house with different tunings, so they have different vibes and different kind of moods, and so you can pick it up.
Well, what's the go down the from the top string down to the bottom? What is the tuning on this?
Basically, it's a simplified or modified dat-gat, right? So, but half step down. So okay. this is C sharp. So it's C sharp. It's basically three C sharps and three G sharps. It's like C sharp, G sharp, C sharp, G sharp, G sharp, C sharp. So I have no third in it.
Yeah, it's a fifth. Okay.
You usually what you do, you put a third on a G string in that gap. But so I can like beautifully switch between major and minor.
Very cool.
That's really cool.
So yeah, so you know, with a dat-gat, if you do major or minor, you're mostly like a little bit singing. And here I can just go wherever.
You can just change it as you go.
Yes.
With that drone string, the unison string, when you bend, it's just a nice feel, but it gets that flavor.
It's a lot of fun like that.
That's a great guitar.
So yeah.
Let's see. I want to play. I'm going to play a clip. I think it's just that guitar. Mm. It's the title of the other album that you send me clips of. Zeitlos. Is that how you say it?
Zeitlos.
I'll show it on the Facebook.
Zeitlos means timeless or ageless, right? So there's no time. So the idea behind this album and also because a song is like sometimes certain melodies, certain songs kind of they put you like back to your childhood or something. You know, you're not like you don't seem to be in the present. So it's so that's where that is.
Okay, let me play. I'm going to go ahead and play this and then we're going to start talk about Miss Lucy, which is one of my favorites. Okay, here's Zeitlos. Beautiful piece, and that's the
Goya
that we were just playing.
It's a different tuning. That's like a cello tuning that I modified. It goes down all the way to the C, so it's pretty strong on a little.
And
guitar.
It holds it pretty well without it gets low, like without, because usually when you get down to C, it starts flapping. Yeah. The string is too loose, but yeah. It sounded great.
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, that is sideless. Sometimes, you know, you pick up a new tuning, you try around a little bit. I was in Amsterdam at this time, and it was in the summer. I was hanging, and then I just checked out with this new tuning, and all of a sudden I had a new song.
Now I have to go look and start hitting the pawn shop, see if I can find an old Goya. That's just a great sounding guitar.
You know who's got a lot of Goyas? Time Warp Music. Ah. I told him about it. He bought a bunch of them. He has a lot of them hanging on the walls.
No,
that's a great place. Shout out to Shane.
Yeah, there
Shane,
you go.
Shane, Time Warp Music. I showed him Goya, too.
All right, well, let's talk about Miss Lucy, which is the Candelas guitar. And this is another beautiful, beautiful guitar.
Miss Lucy is built by Tomas Delgado from Candelas Guitars. If you're out there, Tomas, you are the greatest. He builds the best guitars. Miss Lucy totally changed my life. It's a flamenca, and it's in the style of Santo Hernandez, and Tomas built it. It has a cedar top and has rosewood sides.
And so this is a flamenca negra, right?
Negra, yeah. A negra has cedar and rosewood sides. It could also have a spruce top, but the rosewood sides and back is impeccable.
Right.
And a blanca is cypress and spruce top. I have two more guitars of Candela's guitars from Numas. I got Precious. She's at home. I wrote a song for her, too. So, but yes, and these are just wonderful guitars, hand-built in Boyle Heights by Thomas, third generation luthier. And like I said, this guitar travels me wherever I go, and I played so many shows with her, and she's just fantastic. It's and getting better by the minute.
Well, play us a little bit, and then I'll pull a clip out.
Okay.
Beautiful.
No, it's a great. But let me ask you though, your technique. What are your influences classically? Besides, you know, probably Segovia, I'm sure.
You know, so I learned a proper way classical guitar, and then later rock and roll and everything came. So I do know how to play properly, but I also do a lot of things that you're not supposed to do on a classic guitar. And it's the same thing also. I'm very influenced by flamenco, but I cannot say I'm a flamenco player.
Hmm.
You know, there's a lot of rules that you...
It's very specific.
Not supposed to
I don't
play.
Know. That Rosquillado is pretty...
pretty specific.
No, I know all. I know a lot of these techniques. I do them. I do it my own way, but I also break all the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and purposely, and it's so much fun to do this, particularly on flamencos. They're a little bit... lower setup than regular classical guitars, and they're a little bit raspier, and you can do like really crazy stuff. And I like all this. I do like that. Of course, it's important how to get the tone, how to play it. You know, I take great care of my nails, and all that is really important to get the tone right.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a well-balanced guitar.
Oh, the guitar is great. Also, like, she cuts through. You know, I play with a lot of people wherever I go in the world, and then they bring really expensive, great guitars. She beats all of them. She's also pretty beat up already in the French polish guitars. French polish means they're not lacquered. I think they breathe much better, and they have much more tone. So.
Though I'm surprised you have the pickguard on it. I thought you would have taken that off. Oh, you need it to do the
This is what the flamenco guitars have towards them. It's for the tapping. You know, when you do... So, these are acrylics. If I wouldn't have this, I would put holes in it.
Yeah.
You know, it would look like Willie Nelson's guitar. And, and I have been beaten holes in guitars, so flamenco guitars have that. It's a tap plate, so they call it.
Oh, okay. So that's, okay. It's not a pick guard in the traditional sense.
No, no, it's not a, so.
It's a fingernail guard.
Classic. Yeah. It's a guard because, you know, it's kind of, it's a particular for the, especially if people, the real flamenco players, they use it a lot, like for the groove, you know.
It's really percussive.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And so, and then that would.
Now you just tap by the nails, or are like a lot of new guitarists hit the bottom and the sides and stuff.
I do that too for percussive reasons. I do this here and there, but it's not.
Or do you use a different guitar for that?
I do that too. You know, it happens sometimes. What happens? But just recently,
that cuts though. When you hit the nails on there, that's really.
What I like is just recently, I just like that stuff with the. That's kind of fun when you play with somebody to get a little bit more groove in there and just, and I don't know. It changes all.
Well, let me play a clip. If I'm correct, this is Miss Lucy, Wild Gypsy Sunflower.
Yeah, that's Miss Lucy.
All right, let me play that, and you can hear it recorded, and then we'll talk a little more about the recording of it. Here's Wild Gypsy Sunflower, and this is on the Zeitlos album, and I'll show the album. Here we go. Now, there's some really cool things that you're doing in there. I just got to point out. First of all, where I can hear the Pink Floyd influence, there's gulls back there. That's really back in the mix. And then also, too, it kind of blends with, there's an echo on the guitar. But like those opening guitars, which were more nasally, is that the Miss Lucy, too?
Yeah.
And how did you get, because they're slightly, I don't know if you're bending, where you're getting slightly out of tune, or is that that open tuning that you use, like on the Goya, and you're using the drone string type of thing?
No, this is actually basic standard tuning. What it is, that kind of wobbling in there, I'm not using any digital effects. So what it is a tape echo. It's like an old Echoplex. That's actually full-tone tape echo that I have, one of my prized possessions. So I do record the guitar like about 3 feet away with my normal signal chain, have the triple. But all, so either I use the normal room or I use the tape echo to have it. And so that wah, that wobbly is like the tape echo, that echo that comes.
Okay, but it had the opening guitars, those first guitars, they had a distinctive sound. It didn't sound like like what I'm hearing you play now, but is that an EQ thing, or were you just
I don't think it might be just. So it's also where you play.
Okay.
You can get, you know, if I if I play this with nails really close to the thing, the beautiful guitar, the thing about these wonderful guitars, they have so many nuances. You know, if I play, see, she can sound incredible, beautiful and warm, but so she also has that bite, you know, mm-hmm. So that's what I mean.
And then when you did that trill, was that a pick or is that your fingers?
No, that's...
Oh, you're using your thumb.
That's kind of fun.
That's a not easy to do with a thumb, at least for me.
Also, like, you know, this is the part where the nails have to be just have to write the thing.
That's yeah.
No, you can do the two, but with a thumb, it has, like, this particular, like... bit like an oud or something, you can use it, right?
Yeah. Well, it's different than just using the three-finger trill.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yeah.
But it has a different...
It's a different
It's a little bit more urgent.
Yeah.
A little bit more urgent, while the three-finger trill and these rolls is a little bit more the classical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it's a beautiful-sounding guitar. There was another one that you had that you were playing... Well, we're getting close to the end of the show, but I'm saving the best for last, the new cut. Actually, why don't you just play something about a minute or so of something so they can hear this guitar? Because it's really a beautiful guitar.
All right. Let me see. Okay, this is a piece that's going to be on the, it's called Berlin Waltz. It's just a beautiful melody and just...
That's beautiful. And this is from a new upcoming album called Cirque de Guitare?
No, this is, you know, I have two albums. When I finished, it's called Concerto. I have not really released it yet, right?
Okay.
So I'm just waiting for the right moment, how to release it and everything. But this is just, it's mainly just one guitar at a time, little bit of influences and stuff. But it's, while the other one, the Cirque de Guitare, is a little bit more orchestrated.
Okay.
Right, so I just was listening on my way here in traffic on a 405 and decided I will release it. So I just listened.
I think you should. Definitely a must. Some beautiful stuff. We're almost out of time. And I want to talk a little more about your radio show and how people can, you know, what you're up to, what you're going to be playing and stuff. But I'm going to play this piece. It's actually the title piece, Cirque de Guitare. And it's Miss Lucy. And
a lot of Miss Lucy's.
A lot of Miss Lucy's. Very.
Andy Kravitz is on drums, and I have Matty D on the baritone saxophone,
which is an interesting sound. And this is very.
I got four baritone saxophones playing the bass line there.
Is four. Yeah. Okay, take a listen, and we'll talk a little bit about this.
Thank you.
those saxophones remind me of King Crimson. I love that sound. It's just a great
baritone saxophone is.
But when you're doing that riff at the towards the end, it's hard to tell exactly what Andy's doing, but he's like playing against you.
Yeah, you know what? I had the drum track first, and I was playing. So the riff is like, you know what? The it's one of my favorite scales, like Phrygian dominant. There's like this thing, there's a bunch of things going on, but what's also, there's four guitars. I do like to make it almost like a drum set out of the guitar, you know?
That's what that, yeah, it sounded really like, rhythm. It sounded like dancers, like,
yes.
You know, flamenco dancers.
I have four guitars doing this, and then I have, these are the snares that I do on top of it, and it's kind of fun, because this guitar is also so percussive, it's kind of cool. So, I do like to make records where you just play one song, one guitar, and really like, also it's how I do it live, but sometimes in the studio that's fun too.
No, that's very cool. But you're doing that run, doon, 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 and then the drum's kind of going against it.
Yeah.
So what's he playing? He's playing a straight four or against your...
No, he's playing straight, and I play it syncopated, da, da, ba, while he just keeps it straight.
That's just amazing. That's
but I had the saxophone player just played with me, like the syncopated stuff.
Oh, that was great. And that's four saxophones.
You know, four baritones. So he did the octave. He plays the bass. There's I have left and right, each one double this, like.
Yeah, it sounds almost like a guitar thing.
And then we did another one day he played the fifth. Basically, he's playing five chords.
And
right?
Yeah, and then
and then the guitar. I have bass and I have a bunch of guitars on there. Like one guitar. Gives like a more. And the other one plays. Some cool chords so that all it's in. So I got a little crazy on it, and then of course you got to be making sure and mix it all sounds mm-hmm. good, but it's fun. It's fun.
No, it's a great cut, and you got to release both of these sooner as opposed to later. I'm just kidding.
You know, the thing is, in these days, I could release a song a day. It's really fun, but it's just kind of wasting. You got to think about a little bit how I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Best thing is like couple it with a good show or something. You know, with a good concert. If you just throw it out in the air, no one gives a rat's ass. Excuse me, anything about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be. That's what I mean with these two albums. I'm trying to come up with a good concept and make it really smart. Also, I'm going to do on Radio Venice. I'm going to do a little like release concert and maybe do a couple shows. We'll see. I'm trying to be smart about it. Also, what I really want to do. It's a whole other thing to show about maybe not be streaming, just maybe just press it on vinyl. So I'm not sure. I'm still debating this with myself right now.
Yeah, well, vinyl, your stuff will sound good on vinyl, that's for sure.
That's a dream of mine.
Because it's very analog-y.
Yes, that's what I'm really...
It's a real mellow... I mean, these guitars are just beautiful. I just want to mention guitaryost.com. is the website where you can find out everything that's going on. Any gigs coming up?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming up. Okay, let me think. In April, I'm going to do April 19, I'm going to play with Susie Williams, a solo show, just vocals and guitar at Genghis Cohen in Hollywood. April 20th, I'm going to do at a church in Ocean Park in Santa Monica. It's the most beautiful sounding venue.
Beautiful.
I'm going to have Meta is going to be playing. Sitar Maestro Alok Das Gupta that I had on the show, he played with Rolling Stones and mm-hmm, things like mm-hmm. that. He's going to be in, I'm going to do a solo set. So we're going to have these three acts. We're going to do this. It's on the 20th. And then 21st, I'm going to do a show at Venice Gathering. These are shows coming up. Lots of more stuff coming up, but I can't remember.
But everything's up on the website, right?
Everything's up on the website. And if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, Guitar Yoast on Instagram, this will be good. We have every Sunday the radio show. We're going to make music. I have another band, Los Pochos, with Isaac and Rick Boston. out there. I also have Venice Philharmonic Orchestra. We're playing at Time Warp Records pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff going on. We also play the beach in...
and then also, too, I just want to say again, RadioVenice.tv. It's on Sundays?
Sundays, 4:20.
4:20.
Yes. And you can go to the website at any time and check out the archive shows. We had
The archive is good. Very
great,
cool.
Great people there.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And we're going to have to get you back.
I'd love to.
I'd love to have you come with Tomas and we sit and just really talk about these guitars and maybe bring your three babies.
Yeah, and then bring a couple more. Yeah, I can bring Precious and Lorena and Miss Lucy.
Yeah.
And bring Tomas. Yeah, I'm sure he would love this. Tomas, I'll get you soon.
Yes.
I also wanted to say thank you. You know, I'm a big fan of guitars and just like talking about guitars and keeping this alive and the passion and that it's a beautiful thing. You know, when people play guitars, they don't hurt nobody. Also, Lori, for having me here. Thank you so much.
Yes. Anything real quick. I want to have you take us out, play something.
Sure.
And anything going on, any announcements?
A couple things coming up. On the 5th of April, we've got Freebo and his fabulous friends coming back to
Very
Bogies,
cool.
All-star band. It's going to be awesome. And then the following day, kind of a one-off special show with Buzzy Linhart, who is an incredible writer. He actually wrote Friends for Bette Midler, her signature song, co-wrote. And he's coming down from Northern California to play a show. Alfred Johnson is putting the band together. I think I'm singing a little bit in there, and another all-star band's going to be great.
That'll be great. No, that's great. Thank you so much, Lori, for introducing. And thank you so much for coming on. We got more shows to do. This is really cool.
Let's do it. I'm all up for it.
Okay, well, everybody have a great week. We're gonna leave with Michael just playing.
Hypnotizing us.
Yes, he's going to play Miss Lucy, and we're just going to savor the moment. Everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week. Thank you.